It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time.
Welcome to Science Friction, sci-fi comedy game show where comedians get points for their opinions and how close those opinions are to my correct ones. I'm your host, Asterios Kogonos. With me today, Crystal Beth.
Hello.
We got Pete the Retailer.
God, hello.
And Alex Marino.
Oh, me?
Yes, you. You handsome son of a bitch. How you doing?
Doing all right, Asterios. How are you?
My God. All right. What's the last, like, sci-fi thing you saw?
I've been introducing my lady friend to Rick and Morty.
Okay. Ooh.
She was skeptical. She does not like cartoons designed for adults because they tend to be overstimulating and, like, too jokey, but not, like, not enough character development and shit. Mm. So she gave me 3 episodes to convince her.
Which 3?
It started with a pilot. Had to just, like, lay the groundwork. The one where Beth works for the devil at the curio store.
Oh my gosh, yay. Yes.
And the one that really fucking drove it home, Get Swifty.
Had
to, got some, yeah, showed her what we got.
Show us what you've got.
We spent the next day getting ready for our day just listening to Get Swifty on loop. So she's into it now.
I've got to say, and look, maybe I'm alone on this.
Okay.
That's a bit of an all or nothing episode.
Yeah.
Like, here's what I would have done. The episode where they're in a simulation and it's David Cross.
Yes.
That's a solid A.
I agree. I thought about it for a long time.
Is that the internal one?
Seemed like it might have been inside the body.
That's the Jurassic Park one.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, the shit. Simulation that might have been that one. It might have been that one instead of the devil one.
Okay.
But yeah, that one, I thought about it. It seemed like that might have been too, like, sci-fi-y, high-concept-y.
That's how you got to get them in.
Yeah.
Because you got to show the crazy one, because that's when you know they'll settle in.
Right.
That's what keeps, like, I'm a little bit on the same fence. No. I'm on the same side a little bit. Yeah. Wavelength, maybe? Bus.
Sure.
I'm on the same bus.
Okay.
I don't know where we're going, but...
Something about buses.
Crazy town.
Yeah.
No, I also don't like a lot of new kind of Adult Swim-ish kind of out there cartoons, unless they have heart, or in this case, like, there's certainly heart in Rick and Morty, but the sci-fi really won me over.
Totally.
And the one with the simulation where it's like, where the dad is having the best day of his life.
Oh, yeah.
And then it all falls apart.
Scammer.
That won me over completely.
So
I was like, oh, God.
I'm sorry that the best day of your life was a simulation running on minimum capacity.
Jesus.
That's so good.
It's great.
Yeah.
Honestly, our first game is about Rick and Morty.
Oh, well, all right.
What?
Yeah, Amanda, so I hope you're listening.
It kind of worked out super well for all of us.
Does Alex get points for just kind of prognosticating?
Yeah, absolutely. You get 10 tickets.
All right, doing tickets.
What?
Well, we're doing tickets
fantastic.
Now. Our first game is called The Trial of Rick and Morty Season 3.
Ooh.
Now, it's the talk of the internet. A lot of people, they're waiting for Rick and Morty. They're waiting for Rick and Morty. They can't wait for it to come back. And then it comes back. Some people think it's, like, just okay. Some people don't think it's amazing. Some people are calling those people idiots. Some people are making misogynistic attacks because the episodes thus far this season have been written by women.
Mm.
So it's like a big thing. And we're going to settle it now. The Trial of Rick and Morty Season 3. So, who's got a take?
I just recently caught up on everything. I'm a recent...
Devotee?
Devotee, there you go. How could I not think of the word devo? So all of it is relatively new to me. Like, it was all, like, seasons 1 and 2 were done by the time I started it. So I was like, oh, okay. And I just cut. So, with that in mind, the new stuff seems equal, quality to me completely. So I'm a little bit of a test case of a control subject that I'm like, oh, I just watched it all in one shot pretty much. Just caught up before, like, a week or two before the third season started. So I was like, oh, this seems comparable. So,
okay. Yeah.
That's faint praise. It's comparable.
But
no, but that's good.
It's not a glowing review. It's comparable, but yes.
But the thing is, if it's at a 9 the whole time, then that's good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's like the problems going on with the teaching standards. Whereas it's just, you know, all the teachers are graded on their improvement. So if you... you have a teacher that knocks it out of the park 1 year and then knocks it out of the park the second year, they're getting a lower score because it's like, well, you didn't improve that much. The grades went from a 95 to a 95.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Ew. So wait, so your first year of teaching, you should bomb on purpose?
Something like that, I think.
That's what I would do.
Right.
Do you guys need a tambourine?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
I was not expecting the answer to be yes.
I wasn't either. I want that to be...
10 tickets to Pete the Retailer.
Ow.
Look, listeners, I didn't ask for a tambourine.
No.
But I'm taking advantage of this. Look, when someone walks in the door and says, are you God, or do you want a tambourine? You say yes.
Yeah, he didn't ask if you had asked for one. He asked if you needed one. That right. answer is always yes.
That's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
That means, though, there's a studio somewhere around here where, like, in a half an hour, someone's going to be, where the fuck is our tambourine?
Yeah.
We asked for a tambourine an hour ago.
If you've got tambourine in your song, it's bad.
Yeah.
So really, like, we're doing two good things. Yeah, we're making this better and we're making that better. Exactly. Whatever they're recording.
That's true.
The only good, okay, for 10 points, name a good tambourine song. Any song's got a good, where, by the way, if you took the tambo out, the song would be worse.
Kumbaya, if someone has a tambourine, because I don't like that song, so when the tambourine's going, it sounds better. Because you can't hear the words.
Here, do Kumbaya with the tambourine, please.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
It sounds like you're trying to sing to a rattlesnake.
Yeah.
To prevent him from murdering you.
I would rather sing to a rattlesnake than hear that song. So that's a song that's made better with a tambourine.
All right.
Is there any tambourine in Mr. Tambourine Man, the song?
Oh, my
I was trying to think of it. I don't think it is.
It's the Shatner version, of course, is the version on record.
By the way. To Crystal Beth. 10 tickets to you, even if there is tambourine in it, I don't think there is.
No.
Play a song for me. Yeah.
Well, you're singing to the guy who has the tambourine to come and bring you the tambourine.
Right. That's a lack
and
of
the tambourine,
tambourine
is drugs. But
what?
Oh, you didn't know that?
I don't know anything.
Oh, yeah. What kind of drug?
It's just drugs. Bringing probably pot.
You didn't have to specify in
probably
the 60s.
Pot,
it was just like, hey, man, bring
the
drugs.
And I'll come following you. He wants the drug guy to come back and help him through the misty mornings. There's a lot of that imagery in there of him trying to smoke to deal with his life.
You know, wowie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, wowie. Just wowie.
No.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wowie zowie.
5 tickets for elucidating us, or illuminating rather. 5 tickets for each. Okay.
It's 10 tickets.
I know. Now here's what I'm thinking. Back then, the drugs must have been so weak. Can you imagine how much pot you would have to smoke to get like a high?
Right.
No wonder those guys all had houses and like they could function. Like 2 hits of weed, like that's my day now.
Right.
Like that's it. Oh my goodness.
Uh-huh.
Do any of you guys have a high tolerance for that stuff?
No. I have no tolerance for it whatsoever. Well, for pot. For other stuff, I can do all right.
You have a high tolerance for pot or a low tolerance
low
for pot?
Low tolerance for pot.
Okay.
Almost no pot tolerance for pot.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get just paranoid and feel dumb.
Same.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'm turning into a deer. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
I start feeling like I'm turning... There's a lot of dabs. And
Wait, I thought a dab was this.
That is a dab, but then there's other dabs. But I...
Do they go together?
Dear listener...
Do you
listener,
do the drugs and then do the dance?
You do the dance when you do it,
did
but
the
it's
dance
terrifying.
Move where one lowers one's head into the crook of one's arm, sticking the other one
If anyone
out.
Listening to this doesn't know what a dab is, they should stop listening right now because we're a bunch of cool kids.
I really do like the poetic...
My uncle taught me what a dab was, actually. My uncle was like, that football player is dabbing. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh, I have to Google this. The last time I took mushrooms, I was at the Harry Potter Land.
Whoa!
We got let into Harry Potter Land early, yes?
Do I get prognostication points because I just said Patronus right before you started this story?
Yeah, you do. You get 10 tickets for that. I take them. I was, okay, so here's what happened. Harry Potter Land in L.A., like, did a scientific study, and they found out that the people that lived around Universal Studios would essentially never be able to, like, park again. Because Harry Potter Land was going to drive millions of people.
Sure.
Because it's Harry Potter.
Sure,
Land.
Right.
Right.
So what they did was they were like, Okay, to make up for the fact that we're about to ruin your lives, you can all come to Harry Potter Land 3 weeks early. We're opening it just for you. No one else will be in there but the people that live in, like, the Burbank area.
Not worth it.
No!
For a lifetime of never being able to park again? No. I gotta go once 3 weeks early? No. Fuck you, Harry Potter Land.
You go and then you move. Like, yeah. Like you move right away. And, so we all take a bunch of mushrooms. We go to the Johnny Rockets at City Walk, and we put the mushrooms on burgers, and it's like, we're eating burgers with mushrooms, and like we're winking.
With barbecue sauce and maybe.
And everything. Yeah. This Johnny Rockets is really good. And so everyone's going crazy. They're throwing up. Oh, my God. My buddy, Joan, she's puking in the bathroom, and Moaning Myrtle is going like, whoa! And like, nearly headless Nick is like going, there's bits in the bathroom. There's right. bits.
What? Oh, that's terrifying. I love it.
Yeah.
I know. And I'm like, I'm not high. This sucks. I'm not high at all. I hate this.
And then.
Yup. But here's the thing. Another thing is, we go on the Harry Potter Dragon roller coaster, which they recorded. They did the footage for it, so it's like little. When they're all 12.
Oh, not they recorded you.
No.
I thought they recorded you going on the roller coaster.
Well, that'd be great.
Well,
that'd be a viral video. But the thing is, I wasn't high. That's the thing. That would have been fun. All my friends are screaming. I'm like, okay. But it's like 12-year-old Daniel Radcliffe, 12-year-old Hermione.
Not even when they're hot.
Well. And moving on. So, I'm not. But then, like, that night at 2 in the morning, all the weed hits me at once while I'm watching wrestling. And every time I drink water, the water tastes like fire. And I'm like, water tastes like fire. You all need to take me to the hospital. And I'm just, like, begging my friends to take me to the hospital. And they're like, you're just high. Water doesn't taste like fire. And I'm like, I guarantee it does. Gotta take me to the hospital. And then I woke up the next day, and I was like, I'm never doing mushrooms again. Any good mushroom stories out of you guys?
I've never done them.
Well, you gotta try it once.
Because I'm so bad at weed, I'm afraid I'd be bad at mushrooms.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I have only good stories on mushrooms.
I figured you might. What's your best mushroom story?
One of my favorite ones was I went to Hawaii for an improv festival and made friends with the bar. I was like I got the cheapest hotel that I could, and in that hotel was the diviest bar that I've ever seen. And the bartender was a girl who I guess used to live in the Bronx. And like I saw like one of her tattoos or something. I was like, hey, I live in New York. And we got to talking about New York. And at some point I just like floated it to her. I was like, hey, so I'm here for a little while. Is there any chance of getting some mushrooms? She goes, yeah, I mean, maybe, hold on. And she like goes and serves some people, and she comes back. She's like, yeah, so how much do you need? And I was like, I told her, and she like got some. And we wound up like, we wound up doing them together. She like on her night off, we did shrooms together, and like she had a boyfriend. There was nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we just like hung out and like just wandered around fucking paradise, tripping out on shrooms. And then like there comes that moment where like the real world starts sneaking back in.
Oh no.
And she like saw her phone and her boyfriend had been texting her, and she was trying to text back. And she was like, I can't get the buttons to work. I just can't. So we just like kept hanging out. And like the boyfriend was very pissed, and she was like, she told me the next day. First of all, they had the happy hour at this bar was from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. For $1.75 Mai Tais. So that's basically what I did. I just drunk myself.
You
I
got
so
at
drunk.
7 a.m.?
So from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Long ass happy hour. $1.75 Mai Tais. I drank so much, I drank myself sober. It was one of those things, like you pass being drunk and then you're sober again. So I was doing that the next day, and she was like, I got in a huge fight with my boyfriend, and I couldn't explain because I was still kind of high. The buttons weren't being buttons. I was like, buttons. I get you. I was there. Yeah. But like then later he came in and I met him and was very much like, you have nothing to worry about. Like, look at you. You're a gorgeous Hawaiian man. I'm
just a mere traveler.
Look at
through your land.
I look like fucking Al Pacino shout out of Taliban. Like, I'm like, I'm not an attractive dude compared to you, you Adonis.
You're very attractive.
And he was like,
don't start with
all me. Right. But that was enough. That won him over. He was, everything was fine after that. But yeah, watching a fucking Hawaiian sunset while losing your mind on shrooms is pretty great.
God damn it.
That was a good trip.
It's like you had the trip that I wish I had. I'm in Springfield. I'm going to a Pooh's. Mm-hmm. I'm having a Krusty Burger. I'm just waiting for this stuff to kick in. It's not kicking in. Not at all. I'm on the Simpsons ride.
Yeah.
Excuse me, the Back to the Future ride. Nothing's going on. The Terminator ride. Nothing. Not directed by James Cameron. James Cameron directed a ride.
Right.
No mushrooms.
Shrooms are no good for amusement parks. You got to go to like Central Park and just like talk to a statue.
What?
Fucking do that. Like, that's just hang out in Central Park and like let shit happen around you.
Okay. We're going to talk later about getting a hold of some shrooms and going to Central Park. Back to the gate.
Sorry.
The Trial of Rick and Morty Season 3. You got a take?
I have not seen any of the new episodes.
Okay.
But I'm going to compare it to how excited my boyfriend was to show me the episodes when they first came out. He talks to me about it every day now. It used to be when Rick and Morty first came out, he was like, you need to watch this. And I am the same way as your girlfriend, where I was like, I do not like adult cartoons. I think that they're like very heavy-handed with everything. And I'm like, just relax. I know you're a cartoon, so you can get away with stuff, but calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
Rick and Morty is now one of my favorite shows ever because it's amazing. But John bothers me more about watching these episodes that just came out than any other episode of anything else that we've ever scene. So
yeah, he's real
I think
hot
that he really likes it so far, and he has decent taste. I mean, amazing taste because you're the meat. Yeah. But other than that, I'm going off of John for this. I think I'm going to give it a 92%.
Okay, all right.
Based off not seeing it.
No, you know what? But you made your case. 10 tickets. You made your case. Wait.
Thank you.
You keep saying boyfriend. Are we not?
Oh, we are. It's weird to say husband.
Because you just got married.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. It's new. He keeps getting mad at me for hating it.
It is weird, but it makes everything so much easier.
I don't hate it. It's just harder.
Right.
Because I skipped fiance.
Oh, yeah.
So I went from boyfriend to
husband. There was no period of acclimation.
Yeah, so I never said fiance. So now we're at husband. So my husband wants me to watch Rick and Morty. Does that give him more of a,
gravitas?
Yeah. Do you believe him more now that he is forced to never lie to me?
Huh.
Hopefully.
All right. What if instead of saying husband, what if you said husbando?
My husbando. Mm. Oh, okay. That's beautiful. All right. I like it.
Take it. Do you know what that is?
No.
You guys know those Japanese sex pillows.
Oh, there you go.
Oh my gosh. Is it? Yes, that's him.
Yes.
He's a husbando.
Exactly.
A husbando.
Yes.
You got to get the ooh.
Well,
he speaks Japanese too, so really like it, I think.
All right. Call me
like
husbandu.
Waifu, but husbandu.
That's what it is.
Right.
It's like, okay, so they got the sex pills of the sexy ladies. You flip it over, you see their butt. Great, 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 great. But now, it's like all the girls are like, well, we want these hot boys, these hot anime waifs. We want to sleep with them. Husbando pillows. Husbando pillows.
Do they also have butts when you flip them over?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
I love butts.
No, they're hot.
Who doesn't love butts?
Hmm.
My girlfriend's got a husbando cover.
I thought you were going to say she's got a butt.
I know. I was like, what?
Everybody does.
It's actually really nice. Anyways, my girlfriend's got a husbando cover. She puts it on the pillow. She wakes up because she lives at home still. She just graduated from college. So she puts it on the pillow, holds the husbando, wakes up, takes the cover off, hides it.
Sure.
Mom to know about husbando. I hope her mom doesn't listen to this podcast. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I sincerely thought you were going to say she takes the cover, puts it on you.
And now she's a Spike Spiegel. The end. By the way, Spike Spiegel.
Yes.
Why is that guy, for 10 tickets, why is that guy so hot? What is it about Spike Spiegel? Because he is hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why?
Nonchalance.
He does seem kind of disconnected.
Even his martial arts style is very kind of like laid back, just kind of, you know,
Yes.
And that's, you know, I think that's what, from what I understand, chicks dig that.
That's 10 tickets right there, exactly. He's not too passionate. His aloofness is like, he doesn't care about anything. Maybe he doesn't care about me. Why doesn't he care about me? He should care about me. I need him to care about me.
Right.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
I will get through to this man. I see what's inside of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, Faye Valentine, she's literally wearing, like, a stripper outfit.
Sure.
And I'm always like, oh, she's fine.
Right.
She's all right. But Spike Spiegel, he's just wearing a suit. But I see that guy, I'm like, that's a hot motherfucking guy. I don't know. What do you guys, Spike Spiegel?
His hips.
Hmm. He's got those bones.
He's got like
shutting.
Really, yeah. But they pants sit well on those hips.
Yes.
And I have to say, I work
right
in the
there.
Financials area, so there's
you
a bunch
the
of
thigh die?
I work in the thigh die, and the way pants sit on a man's hip is surprisingly intriguing and sultry. So when there's a good set of hips underneath a pair of pants, even if they're like skinny or more bodacious, I guess, if that's something you can say about a man's hips.
Certainly.
If their pants sit right on them, ooh.
All right.
That'll do it.
That's, I think that's my thing.
Okay.
A proper pair of pants is like a bra for your butt. You know? It's holding it up. It's showcasing it. It's doing all the right things. Your bra is too big or too small.
Sure.
Or it doesn't, it pinches. It's like, oh, what are you doing over here? Same thing with the pants.
Like you were just
another 10 tickets.
Channeling Don Draper there for a second.
I'm always selling. That's the thing. I'm always selling. Love selling. My favorite thing? Selling something that I know is terrible. Mm. Like selling something that like I know for a fact like this is bad for the planet. It's like bad for you, the consumer. Like, because it's like the ultimate challenge.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, how can I convince someone to buy something that will hurt them in the end? Like cigarettes. Anyway.
Relationships.
What do you think? Exactly. Me, myself. Me, Sarah, Kodos, Spike Spiegel. You got a take on this?
I think people are attracted to people who are good at their jobs.
But he's terrible. They only got a bounty in one episode.
Okay, that's fair.
But
I don't know, but
he's good
like,
at shooting things. I mean,
sure.
He's good at
yeah, they're all action. Good. They're all good at the thing that they do. They're just not great together, maybe.
No, they're unlucky.
Yeah.
There's so many times in Cowboy Bebop where it's like, really, they didn't get a bounty. Like, really, they didn't get the bounty. You know? Okay. Back to Rick and Morty. The Trial of Rick and Morty Season 3. All right, here's my take real quick. Here's what I think. They shouldn't have done the April Fool's thing.
Oh.
The April Fool's episode is one of the best episodes of Rick and Morty, which is, I don't know, technically let's call it the season three season premiere. Yeah. Where Rick gets out of the brain jail.
Spoilers.
Right. Exactly.
Amanda, stop listening right now.
Crystal hasn't seen it yet.
But I know about it.
Okay.
I go on the internet, unfortunately.
And it's, you know, the guy from Firefly plays the guy. Uh-huh.
Nathan Fillion.
Ooh. Good set of hips.
I was just gonna say, you took my words, goddammit. But yes,
you
you're right.
You both get 10 tickets for synchronicity. That episode's so good. It's so good. And then it ends with the, here, cover your ears.
Yeah.
With the divorce. And, okay, you can uncover yours. And it's like, if they had aired that in the summer, then the second episode being the Mad Max thing, which is, like, pretty good, but it's just not, like, groundbreaking.
Mm, right.
Like, the Mad Max episode reads like a Rick and Morty, like a very good Rick and Morty spec script. Like, someone was trying to get on staff at Rick and Morty. They wrote this thing. It's not inspired.
Well, here's what I would say. I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
Okay.
It's not the most like groundbreaking sci-fi that they've ever done to like essentially do a Mad Max parody. But the thing that they've been doing this season that they've sort of glanced on in the past, but it's always just sort of been this sort of tangential thing is they're actually like using the sci-fi and using their adventures to actually process the actual family bullshit that's happening to them.
That is
which is not something that they've really done before. It's always just sort of been there but not really ever had any sort of impact. And now it seems like they're actually like dealing with consequences of some of the things that are going on in their life and it's affecting their adventures and their adventures are affecting it.
Well,
you know what? Let me back you up on this. Rick and Morty up until this point has been very A plot, B plot.
Yeah, exactly.
Where right. It's just like A plot, crazy sci-fi adventure, B plot, Jerry can't open a can.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I don't know, they'll come together at the end, like Seinfeld style. But you're right. Lending the sci-fi stuff more sadness is pretty fucking interesting.
Yeah.
20 tickets.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, wow.
Hey, thank you.
You got to
I
the heart
give
of
you
it.
10 of mine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Look, I'll take whatever tickets you want. Tickets are not as important to me as all of you and your friendship.
Wow,
10 more. I feel too good right now.
Aww.
Wow.
Wowie.
All right.
I am going to get that AM/FM radio. It's waterproof. I only listen to radio in water.
That's why it's yellow.
All right. That's it for our first game.
All right.
The Trial of Rick and Morty Season 3. It seems like the consensus is...
Not guilty?
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Absolutely.
Or guilty of being... I'm not sure what.
Guilty of being good, yeah. Not guilty of being right. bad.
It would have been more fun if it was guilty, because then we could have been like the Elders of Krypton. We could have been like, guilty. You know, like the... Superman and Superman 2, where they're all like, there's the giant like holographic Lobot, like saying like, guilty.
So Rick and Morty are in like the spinning hula hoops.
Yeah. There you go.
Let me give us another reference to end on that actually fits with the ending, though, because that's a good reference. I like it a lot. 10 right. tickets. Oh, right. So it's like, haha, don't you see, mon capitaine, the trial never ends. And then, like, cues on his chair. He's like, I'll be watching. And waits, like, the jury's still out on Rick and Morty Season 3. We've got to see how it develops, be it humanity's evolution or a cartoon by an alcoholic and an alcoholic's friend. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
Somewhere in space, this may all be happening right now. 20th Century Fox and George Lucas, the man who brought you American Graffiti, now bring you an adventure unlike anything on your planet.
Here they come. Coming in too fast!
The story of a boy, a girl, and a universe. It's a big, sprawling space saga of rebellion and romance. It's a spectacle. Light years ahead of its time.
I am C-3PO, human-cyborg relations, and this is my counterpart, R2-D2.
Hello.
It's an epic of heroes.
Good luck.
And villains. And aliens from a thousand worlds. Star Wars, a billion years in the making. And it's coming to your galaxy this summer.
Welcome back to Science Friction. With us, Alex Marino. We've got Crystal Beth. We got Pete the Retailer. Me, Stereos Koganos. Oh my goodness. All right, our next and final game is called Best and the Worst. We're going to talk about the best of something and also the worst of that thing, and you'll get points based on, you know, your opinions and takes and stuff like that. I mean, you guys have all played the game before. This week's topic, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I want to know what you consider the best movie and the worst movie. And by the way, there are correct answers, so you got to get this right. Who wants to start?
Are we going animated? Or just the actual...
No, Marvel Cinematic. Those movies aren't in the Marvel Cinematic
Universe. Well, I mean, I watch them as movies.
Well, okay, talk about some of the animated
movies. No, I don't want to say.
No, because clearly you think one of them is either the best or the worst. Or you wouldn't have asked.
Well, honestly, it's not going to go the way you think, where I think that the live action is better than any of the animated stuff they ever put out.
But it's interesting to me. Personally. So what's the best of the... So you think an animated movie is better than... What is it? Tell me.
No, I don't think the animated is better.
Then why
That's why
you
I was wondering. Because I was wondering.
Tickets.
Oh, no. I just keep giving my tickets away.
God damn it.
You're just trying to set up a mental kind of chart.
Yeah, I needed it for my
brain.
You
need to know where. Okay. You had to parse it all first.
Put those in there.
They're there.
Sounds like they don't have any bearing on your decision.
I was the annoying kid in class that was like, yes, but is this math question about science? And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, just checking, making sure I'm in the right class.
Oh, made a little note.
Since I think we were all that annoying kid, I'm going to ask as well, are we talking Marvel Studios or are we talking like, are the Fantastic Four ones lumped in here?
They don't qualify as officially Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Cinematic Universe
is the brand kind of for that.
Sure, the ones that are in Marvel Studios where they're, okay,
right.
So, for example, the new Spider-Man movie, for example, even though it's still whatever owned by Sony, there's still like a Marvel Studios was involved
in
the
It's obviously in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Okay, so because Iron Man's in the movie.
They produced it, but then I think
So anything Sony with the comic book flippy page.
What?
Any comic book flippy page at the beginning?
Now it's clips of movies.
Yeah,
because we're into phase three.
They changed it.
Got it. They did change it. But I just want to make sure that that's okay.
Yes.
All right.
I want to come in as like prepared as possible.
You cannot have a geek podcast and not expect these questions.
No, you're all. But here's the thing. To me, and look, maybe this is my fault. The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
Which, by the way. And this is my fault for just assuming that everyone knew what I was talking about.
I've just been researching it recently, which is why I'm more familiar with what counts.
Yeah, I've noticed you haven't fucked up yet, Peter Retailer. 10 tickets to you. The Marvel Cinematic Universe. Okay, the Marvel Comics take place in Universe 616.
Mm-hmm.
The Ultimate line takes place in Marvel Earth 1610. The Marvel Cinematic Universe takes place in timeline Earth-1-99999.
See, that's all you had to say.
Yeah, I would have known then.
But I'm saying the MCU! It's the Marvel Cinema. It has its own universal designation.
But which designation is what we're asking here?
And does X-Men count?
Not X-Men. X-Men is a Marvel comic. Those movies are from the Marvel Universe, but they're not from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
They're not from the same universe designated by the...
That's why you have two Quicksilvers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, they quickly killed off Quicksilver in Age of Ultron, because they're like, we don't want to deal with this. We got out Quicksilvered, because the Quicksilver in X-Men Days of Future Past is like, that's a pretty good Quicksilver.
That's a good Quicksilver.
That's the only time I've ever liked Quicksilver ever.
Yeah.
I've read so many the comics kid from Quicksilver. I'm like, this guy's a
American Horror Stories? Yeah. Like that kid, yeah, that kid's great.
That kid's fantastic.
I haven't seen Days of Future Past, but I really did like you're a trash club kid Quicksilver from Age of Ultron. Like I like that take on him just being like with his tracksuit and his little gold chain and being kind of like a little bit douchey. I like it.
Apocalypse? Probably not worth your time. Totally worth your time. The one scene where he saves everyone in X Manor. Quicksilver shows up and like X Men Mansion is like blowing up, and he's like, "All right," and then
one
just like goes around and like saves
ever.
Everyone. Fucking incredible.
Ever.
Yeah.
However, so I'm gonna say X Men Apocalypse. One of my friends re-edited that movie with a bunch of footage that they didn't use and took out a bunch of stuff and made it one of the best X-Men movies I've ever seen. I'm dead serious. His name is Brett White. You can find him on Twitter. Just Google Brett White comic books.
I think I know him.
You know Brett White.
I do.
Yes. He's absolutely amazing. He re-edited the whole movie and then had a showing of it, and it is so goddamn good. Like, they show the parts where like Jubilee and all the kids are going to the arcade, so they brings back like 90s
cool.
X-Men feeling. And I saw that before I saw X-Men Apocalypse, so I'm going off of that. And because the first one and there's footage in it that isn't even through post-production, like it's stuff with still green screen or stuff with like rough edits. But when you edit it the way he did, he took out the first 25 minutes of the movie. Because you didn't need it. You didn't need that shit with the queen being brought down and then coming back up again. Just show me the end. I just want to see the X-Men doing fun shit. I don't give a shit about Egypt. But he made it so goddamn good. Find me, The Crystal Beth, on all social media, and I will get you the link to that freaking movie. It is so good. That's one
Does
of my
tops. Does
he
have a pithy name for it, a la The Phantom Edit?
No, I wish. Oh, wait, he might.
We
I'm not
going to
say
one.
No. I'm going to ask him.
Okay.
And then I'll tell you.
That's pretty cool.
It's cool as shit.
But
he put a lot of time into it.
Universe designation is it?
129-876-5432-1.
That's great. Not at all true.
Okay, 999-1999.
God damn it.
Wait, what's...
I hate all of you.
What's, yes. What's Earth 212? Is that a DC thing or is that a Marvel thing?
Well,
612.
Hold on.
Beastie Boys universe.
Hold on. Let me look up to what
all the mutants are Beastie Boys.
What's Earth 911 as a joke? Is that?
I'm looking.
That's what it is right now.
Neither of those exist.
Earth 616.
Earth 212 might be a DC thing.
It might be. Well, because in 52 there's 52 Earths.
Oh, yeah.
But before that, there's like a million Earths.
There's infinite.
There's a million infinite Earths.
Exactly.
Exactly. No. It's different. We're talking about different things here.
Yes.
Spider-Ham.
Yes. You mean
is from
Peter Porker, the spectacular Spider-Ham.
That is what I mean. Wait, I'm Googling this. What universal designation is Spider-Ham from?
I forget. I used to know this at some point.
I'm looking it up.
It's this something is the kind of punish.
Important use of my time. He's from Earth 8311.
No, that doesn't make sense.
No, it's not really a pun.
Although it is 1138 backwards.
Oh.
GHX1138.
Wow.
30 tickets. Good wow. Work.
That was, yeah, no, 30. I'm giving him 10 more of mine.
Wow.
Am I a negative yet?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm giving him extra tickets of mine for later.
If I ever get them again.
No, I'm doing an IOU. This is like a credit card right now of tickets.
All right, but you better... Can I sell you some bit tickets.
I've got some bit ticket miners working around the clock.
No one's played the game yet. We gotta hurry through this. I gotta go home.
Does it tell you who's in Earth 8311 right there? Is there?
Because
I love. There's so many stupid, wonderful puns from that universe. There's Goose Rider. There's Nick Fury, Agent of Sheep. There's
the King Pig.
King Pig.
Oh, God.
Yep. Instead of Godzilla, there's Hogzilla. Instead of Doctor Doom, Doctor Doom.
Wow.
What? You knew that.
I did know that.
Captain. Yeah, I'll say it. Captain.
Captain America.
That's right. 10 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Good work.
I had a subscription to Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider-Ham, back in the day. So I was. It was one of my main titles. It was spun out of Marvel Tales, T-A-I-L-S. It really was.
According to his power grid, he's got a strength of 7. He's got a higher strength than Captain Zooniverse. That's pretty interesting. That's pretty interesting to me. Okay. Wait. Oscorp. Iron Man. Okay, there's nothing else interesting here. All right. Come on, best movie from the MCU, worst movie. Just, you know what? Let me cut this in half for you.
What's your favorite movie from the MCU?
I'm so sorry.
Now I'm just thinking of more puns from that universe.
Yeah. Let me hear the puns.
Tony Stark?
Okay, that's 10 tickets.
I think that was it. I think that was really it.
Yeah, really?
I think so.
10 tickets.
That makes sense.
Okay, I'm looking at more. I'm looking at more puns.
There's some amazing grown, and some they didn't even try. They're just like, I don't know, monkey guy.
Yeah,
like, monkey. Some of them they're just kind of like whatever. I don't
Aunt
know.
May isn't named like Aunt May, and she's a horse. Oh. Aunt May is literally just named Aunt May Porker.
Yeah,
Spider-Ham was created when Aunt May Porker irradiated herself conducting experiments with a nuclear-powered hairdryer. The radioactive pig then bit a spider, and that spider became Spider-Ham. God damn.
That's awesome.
That's pretty great.
I want to watch, or well, read this.
You could probably do both.
Yeah.
I bet Spider-Ham's and shit. Spider-Ham was created by Tom DeFalco. His occupation, adventure, photographer, student, vigilante, former circus performer. God damn.
I think his boss was J. Jonah Jackrabbit, I believe.
That is sure. Correct.
Which is,
that's another 10
it's a little bit of a stretch, but it's,
wow-y.
I'm picturing him now in my mind. Can you play a little harp like me dreaming of J. Jonah Jackrabbit?
Yep. Okay, let's go put that harp noise in.
Harp. Oh. Thank you.
Instead of Ben Parker, Uncle Ben, Benji Parker, dog.
Got it.
No.
But not Porker?
It's interesting to me.
He didn't. She didn't take his name. That's fine.
That's sweet.
I guess.
They were so close, though.
I think there were inconsistencies within the Earth 8311.
Shocked.
Long.
It's
due for a continuity reboot.
Eventually, they created something, and again, they just punted on this, called the Hulk Bunny.
Yes.
Well, that's
I think that was really early on, Hulk Bunny.
Okay. For the game, tell me everything you remember about the Hulk, because we're not playing best or the worst.
Tell this me is clearly anything the best universe.
Tell me anything you can remember about the Hulk Bunny.
I'm trying. I can't remember his,
it's okay.
His alternate identity. I could probably do a crude drawing of him, but that's not good for podcasting.
You know what? Here's the thing. His name's Hulk Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
There's no joke there.
Bruce Bunny?
You win the game! I'm so sorry! Alex Marino correctly guessed that his name was Dr. Bruce Bunny.
That's not bad.
But there's more of a joke there.
Yeah,
Banner
exactly.
Bunny. It should have been like the Unhoppable Hulk.
Right. Yeah. The Incredible.
Right. Or the Incredible Hop.
Yeah.
The Incredible.
Yes. Oh man.
See.
Gosh, I wish I could do puns. I see words as the one thing that they are. And then nothing else.
All right. Hey, guys. We got to wrap this up. Let me get your plugs, huh? Plug your stuff, eh? Come on. Where can people hear you? What can they do? People, they love you. They want to connect with you. How do they do it?
Well, I am Crystal Beth. You can follow me on social media at The Crystal Beth. You can also listen to my podcasts, The Fifth Element and Unlimited Lives Radio on iTunes. And have a nice day.
I'm Pete the Retailer at Pete the Retailer on Twitter or PeteTheRetailer.com. You can listen to me on Star Wars Minute usually, but we're on a little bit of a break. But so instead, I'm filling my time with a show called ABC Devo. We go alphabetically through all the Devo songs twice a week.
You must have a thing where it's like from A to.
From the fourth dimension to a wiggly world.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Nice.
All
right.
That's what I'm doing right now, and then we'll be back Star Wars Minute in the fall, probably.
I'm J. Alex Marino on Twitter. I always have to look it up because I can never fucking remember what my handle is.
Isn't that your name?
I know, but sometimes I'm like James Alex M or J. Alex Marino. I don't know why I insist on having the J in there. But there's a motion graphics designer named Alex Marino that I'm in constant battle with over everything.
Understood.
So there's that. Other than that, I am once a month with the Daily Show writers at the UCB. We do improv. And beyond that, I am living in the shadows. Preparing for something. What? You may not ever know, because it'll happen in the shadows.
To be continued. God damn. All right. Hey. This has been Science Friction. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to support this show and get bonus episodes and bonus content, you go to patreon.com/Asterios. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.